This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning. This is John Flanagan. I am the RFP coordinator for the Health Benefit Exchange RFP 14, HBE 14-005. And this morning we're having a webinar. We have a number of people that are on the already on the webinar. And what I'd like to just kind of go through first is a little bit about meeting etiquette on this. We have you currently on mute, and at least for the first part of the meeting, we'd like you to remain on mute. Otherwise, a conference call like this becomes unmanageable. to be able to get off mute when we get to a point where we'll accept voice questions, press star 6, and that'll take you off mute. And then after you're finished asking your question, again, we request that you put your phone back onto mute. Okay, I believe they are. Oh, okay. So if you'll put your phones on mute, we would appreciate it.
Okay.
So when a company joins, we see your names up there and your emails. What I don't have is any indication of what your company is. So if using the chat, if you could indicate what company you're from, it would be very helpful for us. So if you are joining on the telephone conference only, make sure that before the conference over that you sign in verbally so that we know that you have attended this particular meeting. Other than that, as we go through the meeting, you've got the chat box. Please put your questions into that chat box. We've got a number of questions. Actually, they're running up to about 65 here that were previously submitted, and we will respond to all of those first. So the first part of this, we'll go through the questions we've got. We'll respond to them with our answers. Some of the answers are already up on the display that you have. And then we'll take those that have been entered by chat. And then the last thing we will do is if you do not have access to a computer, cannot enter your questions via chat, what we'll do is we'll go through the we'll ask you to call in and verbally give us the questions that you may have. We're going to attempt to answer all of these questions. However, any of the answers we come up with today are going to be non-official and non-binding. But they're the best answer that we can give, and we certainly will make every effort to give you, an appropriate answer. However, the official answers will be published on the web within about 2 days. Again, we're going to go through them in pretty much in sequence. What we've got is we've got a couple of subject matter experts in the room. The executive sponsor of this particular acquisition is Michael Arness. I'd like to introduce him first. Michael.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much. And let me go ahead and ask two people from the Washington State Health Benefit Exchange who are going to be here with us this morning to introduce themselves as well.
Nellie Kinsella, Communications Associate.
Seema Gupta, Data and Reporting Manager.
Thank you very much. And then we have two other members who may be with us this morning. Let me check if they're on the phone. Is Isabel Hochek on the telephone? Okay, thank you. Isabel may not be able to join us this morning. And Karen Kramer. Karen, are you on the phone? Okay, John, neither Isabel or Karen will be.
Okay, thank you. So be aware that the conference is being recorded. One of the questions I received is if the recordings would be available, and I'm told that technically, yes, we can get the recording available. So once we have that, we will include that on the web, on WEBS, which is the Washington State vehicle that we're using for distributing information about this particular acquisition. So, if we answer a question that you have submitted earlier and the answer does not fully meet what you're looking for, what I'd ask you to do is please resubmit another question addressing the same expanding on what it is that we were not able to answer the first time around. So with that, I'm going to launch off onto the 65 questions. And to start with, what I'll do is, rather than call on our panel of experts here, I will read each of the questions and then come back with the exchange response that we've already come up with. The questions are all numbered. The same numbering process will be used when we publish these questions on the on webs. So the first question is, these are relative to the RFP. At the time specified in the RFP reference, Pacific Standard Time. Should this be Pacific Daylight Time? Yes, pardon us, it should have been Pacific Daylight Time. We lose track of that, I'm afraid, and so please accept our apologies. Question number two. In view of the significant amount of information that must be developed for the response to this RFP, is it possible that the due date could be extended? No, I'm sorry. The schedule cannot be modified. Any such change would not only impact the RFP, but would also significantly impact the planned implementation. The RFP indicates that survey results need to be provided by September 12, 2014, while the technical report needs to be provided by November 14, 2014. Could you please explain the reason these deadlines have been set? And the answer to that is, the exchange needs the results to help prepare for the next open enrollment period that ends November 15, 2014. The technical report coincides with providing advice on transitioning the survey to the Washington Health Benefit Exchange, and so may be submitted later. Question number four. The RFP indicates that the maximum budget is $450,000 for this project. Could you please explain how this budget was derived? And actually, that question is really outside the scope of the RFP. That's an internal issue. But essentially, what a later question asks, is this going to be a fixed-price contract? Yes, it will be a fixed-price contract, and it will have an upper limit specifically of $450,000. Question number five, which is in the sampling area. It is understood that country and consumer type need to be appropriately represented in the sample. We are assuming that the results are reported at the state and consumer level type level. Please confirm this statistically valid, I'm moving on to another page, let's see. Please confirm that statistically valid country level results are not required. The answer, this is the first consumer survey that the exchange will perform. The exchange, consequently, does not want to presume that data and results that may be collected are generated. It may not be possible to collect data or produce results by country, and thus, the exchange will need advice from the vendor about the possibility of producing regional results, and if regional results should be prioritized above producing other results. And let me just add a little bit to that, because there's a consistency in this particular question. We're really looking to the vendor that we contract with as that entity that's going to advise us. We're not the experts in this. You're the expert. So we're going to be looking for your mentoring, your direction on a lot of these particular areas and how exactly we are to approach them.
Excuse me, John, while you turn the page, let me just remind everyone to please put your phones on mute. We're getting a little bit of background noise at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Question number six. Is there a targeted level of statistical precision? The exchange needs advice from the vendor on the level of statistical precision that fits the results selected. That goes exactly to what I had just previously said on the previous question. We're looking for your advice. Question number seven. Are those who did not enroll but started an application unduplicated from those who did enroll, or is it possible that someone started two applications, double counted in the sample? Answer, unduplicated. While the applicant may start more than one application, the exchange measures if the applicant either enrolled or did not enroll. And panel of experts, if you hear something here that you'd like to add to, please let us know. Question number eight, is there any special focus on American Indian, Alaskan Native, or any other strata as a domain? Answer, no special focus on any culture or ethnicity. Question number nine, is time frame when enrolled available in sample records? Answer, yes. When enrolled, and other time frames are collected within the Help Plan Finder. Okay, next question. Did everyone who do the enrollment online, or did some do it on paper or in person? If so, is there a distinction available in that sample of file? Michael?
I was going to see if Nellie or Seema could possibly respond to that.
So we have some applications on papers, but it depends on the caseworker who is working on that application might click the paper version or might not. So we don't have right data, whether it's accurate or not.
Okay.
And same with the online applications, because we don't know whether it was on a telephone to talk to a navigator or they went to the person registers or anybody. So no, that's the same.
Okay. So maybe if I could summarize, Seema, what we do know is that people either consumers either sent us a paper application or they enrolled online, but we cannot be sure that we captured which way they went consistently.
Yeah,
and we do know that some people were assisted by, say, a broker or an in-person assister, but again, we can't consistently say that that information was captured in a way that we could rely on it. So I think that's a very good clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next question number 11. We understand that the exchange is also the marketplace where newly eligible adults may enroll in the Washington Apple Health Medicare coverage and where families renew their coverage in Washington Apple Health. Does the enrollment process vary greatly for those enrolling or renewing in Apple Health Medicaid coverage versus those enrolling in qualified health plans? In other words, is the website for enrollment different from Medicare users versus qualified plan users? Do we have an answer on that?
Yeah, so this is Nellie. The Washington Apple Health experience, or I'm sorry, the Washington Health Plan Finder experience for somebody who has applied for free and low-cost health insurance, that is the portal for somebody to check their eligibility for Washington Apple Health cost-sharing reductions or health insurance premium tax credits, which get applied to the qualified health plans. So it's a similar eligibility process. The only difference is that qualified health plan eligibles are able to select a health plan and shop for it, whereas those who are eligible for Washington Apple Health are automatically enrolled.
Thank you, Nellie.
Okay, question number 12. I'm not going to read all the bullet points on this one, but please confirm what data will be included in the record information for the sample members, and there's a list of about 15 or 18 bullets here. Rather than try to go through this or for us to try to answer that specifically, we would like to say that the exchange has rich contact information available to it, and it should be totally sufficient for all of the needs of this particular project. Michael, would you like to add to that any?
Yeah, I'd just add to that, John, that we just completed an open enrollment period that lasted 6 months, and when consumers applied for health insurance, they had to give us a lot of their contact information. It's tough to confirm every data field that's put here, but the information has recently been entered through applications in an open enrollment period that recently ended. So.
Okay, question number 13, which is SHOP. Could you please clarify if you are expecting a separate survey to be developed for the SHOP enrollees and a separate survey to be developed for families with children covered through pediatric dental plans? And the answer to that is the exchange actually, again, as I had said earlier, needs advice from the vendor on an acceptable approach to surveying SHOP and pediatric dental. We're looking to you as being the experts. Because pediatric dental is purchased in association with an individual QHP, incorporating pediatric dental into the survey of individual QHP enrollment may be an option. SHOP may necessitate a different approach than the survey used for individual QHP enrollment. So we're looking for the help of the vendor, the vendor that ends up as being our contractor on this. Again, you're the expert on this. Anything to add to that, Michael?
No, thank you.
And we're going to that particular answer where we've been asked for specifics, and we're really coming back to you and saying that we're looking for your advice. That's you're going to hear that time and again on some of these questions.
Yeah, John, I guess one thing I'd answer to that is that we also are looking for the vendor's help in prioritizing the most valuable information to collect through the survey. We know that we may not be able to capture everything that was in the RFP, and some of the topics just may not be right for survey analysis at the time. So we need the vendor's help on that. So we may collect a lot in one category, not so much on another topic. Or maybe find that we just can't do surveys on certain topics at the moment. But we do need your advice first before we can go further into making those kinds of priorities.
Okay, question 14. Please confirm demographic information such as the following were not collected during the enrollment process and will not be included on the data record for sample members, and there's several blogs on that. But the answer is confirmed. Demographic information is not currently available to the exchange. 15. Will the survey be conducted in English only or both in English and Spanish? The survey instrument will need to be in English, and the exchange needs advice from the vendor on an approach that may produce survey results on culture and language. 16, transitioning the survey. Could you please provide more information regarding the transitioning of the survey? Is the exchange expecting to receive deliverables in addition to the technical report that will help transition the survey? An example, programming code for a web survey, graphic design files, paper surveys, and so on? Or is the exchange expecting only to receive guidance regarding the technical aspects of conducting the survey? We don't have an answer on that one, but I think we have answers here in the room.
John, this is Michael. Let me take a first crack at it and maybe contribute from some of the other people in the room. But primarily, we need assistance from the vendor on how to right-size the survey for our ongoing budget that will likely be less than what we have today to fund the initial survey. So we are definitely looking for aspects, technical aspects of how to perform the survey in future years. I don't think we would turn down, however, any contractor who would like to provide us with some additional help in the detailed areas that were mentioned here. But first and foremost, we need the technical help, and we need your help in right-sizing a future survey that may not be as comprehensive as the one that we're going to do this year. So let me see if there's any clarification or help from the rest of the folks in the room.
I think I would also like to know the process they have used, the statistical tools they will use to do the survey, that those kind of information. What was their approach?
Okay.
In getting to the results.
Thank you. Thanks, Seema. Thank you, John.
Question 18, response format. We understand that we must write the RFP response in the order given in Exhibit B under subheading 4, and that there are page limits to each section. May we also include additional information such as resumes and proposed personnel as addenda to the response? And the answer is vendors are allowed to send in supplementary information to support their response to the RFP. That's not a problem. However, the exchange cannot commit to reviewing all that material, nor can any of that material be used in the final award of the vendor scores. It can be used by the reviewers as supplementary only. Okay, vendors propose solution, number 19. Regarding the order of the response for subheading 4.1, would the exchange like us to follow the order of the bulleted list in subheading 4.1, or should we follow the order of the statement of work under subheading 1.4, which is at the beginning of it? And no, please follow the order of the bulleted list in subheading 4.1. Question number 20, on page 3 it states that vendors may need to employ techniques that reach multiple cultures or populations that may not speak English, in addition to potentially using different strategies/modes of data collection for different cultures or populations. Does this also mean that the survey instrument will need to be available in multiple languages? If so, what languages will be required? The exchange is not, this is a long answer, okay. The exchange is not suggesting or promoting a particular solution for reaching enrollees across multiple cultures or who do not speak English. Developing the survey instrument in several languages, consequently, may or may not be included in the vendor's proposed solution. While assisting the exchange to develop and prioritize topics to be included in the survey instrument, the exchange will look to a vendor to propose effective and efficient methods in the area of cultures and languages. Health Plan Finder is available in English and Spanish. So we're back to what we had said earlier. You as the experts, please help us in prioritizing some of these. Question 21, sampling. Will HBE provide the vendor with samples for each of the subpopulations of interest? Will the sample contain all the information necessary to identify and assign an individual to an appropriate subgroup? Example, individuals renewing Medicare coverage previously, eligibility but not enrolled, and so on. What contact information, address, telephone numbers, and email addresses, and demographic information will be provided for the targeted respondents? How will the sample be provided to the vendor? Will the vendor be given access to HBE's database to develop the sample? Our response to the first three questions. A subpopulation will only be selected if adequately identified and collected. Response to the fourth question. The exchange has the ability to provide the sample and will work with the vendor when producing the sample. Question number 22, can you tell us approximately what population of the 150,000 QHP enrollees were subsidized versus non-subsidized enrollees? 75% subsidized QHP enrollees and 25% non-subsidized QHP enrollees. Question number 23, I notice we now have about 55 attendees in this particular conference. So what I'll repeat again is if you have the opportunity on chat and enter the name of the company that you're representing, it would be pretty helpful to us. Also, for those who joined us late, please keep your phones on mute. We'll have an opportunity after we go through all of these pre-submitted questions for those of you who do not have a way of entering your questions via chat to be able to verbally give us questions. So, let's see, 23, pediatric dental. Please clarify which subgroups of the small employers are to be surveyed. For example, is HBE interested in surveying among all those enrolled through CHOP? Businesses that created accounts in health plan finder businesses but are located outside of Clark College counties, a statewide sample of small businesses that are not yet offered coverage, and so on? The answer, the exchange needs advice from the vendor on survey approaches for shops so that the exchange may prioritize the best use of the initial consumer survey. And once again, though in a way we hate to do this, we're throwing it back on you. We're looking for your help on this. And we will look at great interest on your approaches to this particular, to your approach to the project. Next question, 24, SHOP. Approximately how many individuals began the application process but did not complete the enrollment process? Is HBE interested in surveying other individuals who did not enroll during the initial enrollment period, other than those who began but did not complete the process? And the answer is, of non-enrolled individuals, the exchange is only interested in surveying those applicants that began an application and then did not enroll. Conducting the survey, regarding vendor communications to exchange consumers, is the vendor expected to prepare and mail advance notification letters to all targeted respondents?
John, this is Michael. I think this is one I'd like to clarify with the team first, then we'll get this out on the back on the responses up on webs as soon as we can.
Okay.
So we'll work on to be
announced. We may have a number of these, and we apologize, but we will get you the answers to them. Okay, question 26. What information will be available on the sampling frame to be used for contacting the enrollees? Phone number, address, email. Same thing?
Yes.
Same thing. So we will get back to you on that question.
Okay.
Question 27. What demographic information will be available on the sampling frame? And this says, please see the report cited in section 1.4.1.2. So it's covered in the RFP.
Yeah. John, we've got two questions coming in on chat that are similar to what we're going on right now. So maybe we could address those right now, if that'd be okay.
Yes.
Okay. The first is what business decisions are expected to be made based on survey results. At this time, the best answer is a general answer, which is that the exchange has gone through one open enrollment period. We would like the information to be gathered and results produced before the next open enrollment period. And so about as specific as we can be is that we would like assistance in performing the next open enrollment period better than we did the first one. And anything that can help us improve on that will be greatly appreciated if we can collect that through the survey. The other question is, what internal capabilities do you have in terms of data analysis and statistical skills for taking over the data collection and survey response analysis in future years? We are beginning to build a data analysis and statistical shop. I think it's important to stress that the Washington State Health Benefit Exchange is a developing company. We are a new private public entity and at all times. So it is a new unit that we are putting together, and we are developing our abilities and our data and analysis in that area, and we'll be looking to build data components. Again, I think it's something that would be good for the vendor to come in and comment on as we're developing that as part of the transitioning task that's in the RFP. Anything to add to that?
Okay. We have people who use statistical tools right now also, so
okay.
We have some strong statistical people in the team.
Okay, Michael, I only asked you to remember the questions you answered because we're going to go through the whole list of them. I don't want to have to answer the same question again later.
Okay,
back to the questions of the pre-submitted questions. 27, what demographic information will be available on the sampling frame? Oops, we answered that one. 28, how current will the enrollee contact information be on the sampling frame? And the exchange completed its initial open enrollment on March 31st. So basically, you're saying pretty current.
Mm-hmm.
29, what proportions each were the enrollments completed by mail, phone, and electronically? Any answers here? We'll have to get back on that.
Okay.
We don't have that.
I don't think we're going to have that information, John.
Then that may be the answer that we give. So this, whoever asked that particular question, there's a good possibility we may not be able to give that information to you.
Okay.
Question 30, does the sampling frame contain non-enrollee contact information? What proportion of the frame are non-enrollees? Same thing.
Again, I don't know that we're going to be able to answer those questions. I think what we do know is that we received applications by paper, and we received applications from consumers who applied online. We don't know if we'll be able to drill down to the precise numbers that came in under certain media, and also we know that the people received assistance from brokers as well as from certified assisters, but it may not be possible to say precisely how many people received precise assistance. So
if you can give me a written response exactly like that, I can fill in here.
They're asking in this question probably about those applications which are probably submitted but not enrolled, or those applications which are not even submitted. But we will have contact information for both of those populations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, ready to go on?
Uh-huh.
31. Besides Spanish, in what other languages does HBE contemplate conducting this survey? The exchange is not suggesting or promoting a particular solution for reaching enrollees across multiple cultures who do not speak English.
This is the same response that we provided the first couple times the question came.
Okay, so this is not a unique question here. So you basically cloned the same answer, developing the survey instrument,
yes,
the several languages. Okay, I'm not going to go reading it down. Question 32. What precision does HBE want for its estimates? What difference in estimates does HBE want to detect? For which subgroups or markets is it wanting estimates, and for what level of precision? The exchange needs advice from the vendor on the level of statistical precision that fits the results selected. Again, we're looking for you and your expertise out there. 33. What length of interviews is HPE anticipating? The exchange will need to prioritize the topics and questions that are ultimately included in the survey instrument. 34, sampling. We assume that HPE has a data warehouse or other data system in which applications and enrollee information is stored. Is that assumption incorrect? And if so, is there information in that system that identifies the subpopulations of QHP and Medicare consumers, individual market subsidies, full cost QHP shop, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, we have that data.
We have all of that?
Yeah. Not in the data warehouse, but we have a database.
We do have the database. Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Question 35. Do you have contact information, names, addresses, blah, blah, those who began the app? I think we've ran into this question before, have we not?
I think we have rich contact information.
Yes, we have rich contact information on all of this. So 36, vendor's proposed solution. In the first paragraph, it states that the exchange, however, will consider a work plan that concludes the work in these sections at a later date than is supported by the vendor's expertise. How much flexibility is there in the timeline for collection and reporting? Is there a drop-dead date by which the survey results must be ready? There is not much flexibility in the due date. The exchange needs the results that may be used for the later stages of planning for the second open enrollment that begins November 15th. So that's pretty solid. Question 37, developing the survey instrument, is HPE review of their outreach and public marketing available publicly? If not, can you provide it to us? Subject matter experts?
So there will be, at the time that the vendor starts work, information about the outreach and public marketing evaluation. So that information will be publicly available at the time that this work starts.
It's not available at this time, though. 38. Can the initial survey results provided to the exchange on 9/12/14 be high-level results, example frequencies, cross-tabs with summary text in memo format, with a more detailed report delivered at a later date? And the answer is the vendor will need to specify the later date and justify the approach before the proposal is considered. That sounds like it might be a little bit dicey response, as far as an approach for a vendor.
I think that, John, we would likely need the detailed results by the September date. If a vendor does have an approach that might make sense to them to give us top line or high level information, followed quickly by detailed results, that could be considered. We'd have to know what a later date is, and I'd have to get a better sense of what the high level information would entail, and then how quickly the detailed information would follow. So until we see that, I would just say that the September 12th date is what we're looking for.
Okay, thank you. Question 39, should the proposal text be single or double-spaced? I think single is acceptable. Save paper. Question number 40, the RFP indicates a contract start date of July 22nd, 2014, and presentation of survey results by September 12th. Would the exchange consider a date later than September 12th? Question several times. The vendor needs to specify the later date and justify an approach before the proposal could be considered. 41, what contact information is available for plan participants? That's a repeat of an earlier question that we've answered several times. 42, what contact information is available for people who began but did not complete the process? Again, that's similar to an earlier question.
Yes,
I think when we publish these, we can reference back to the original answers. Would that
yes.
be possible? Okay.
Let me just check with SEMA. I think in many cases when a consumer started an application but did not become enrolled, in most cases we do collect quite a bit of contact.
Yeah.
Because they have to provide us the contact information on the first few screens.
Okay, 43. In how many languages must the survey be conducted? I recognize this long answer as one that I've already read off, which says, tell us, give us advice in this area. So, question 44. The RFP requires the contractor to design an instrument that collects information that permits the exchange to expand if access to the health plan finder or consumer's overall shopping experience varied by culture or by language.
Same response.
Which cultures would the exchange like to include? And again, it's the same response, exactly the same response as the previous question. We're looking for advice. Question 45, is there a desired level of precision for the estimates? The exchange needs advice from the vendor on the level of statistical precision that fits the results selected.
And John, if I could just add to that again, is that we do need the vendor's advice on which topics may be best explored by a survey instrument, and therefore that may dictate to a certain degree how much precision we take that is necessary. And again, the advice will help the exchange prioritize where we are really going to use the survey instrument and the data collected and the results we received. So again, we need your advice before we can figure out which areas to dive into more than others, and possibly even some topics are not yet ripe for surveying.
Okay, question 46. The exchange describes the need to explore strategic themes among small businesses using small business health options. Does the exchange view this component as a separate survey component? An example, or in other words, an establishment of survey of a small business, or will the exchange provide enrollment numbers for participants enrolled through the exchange? Again, this is an answer we had given to an earlier question, I believe. The exchange needs advice from the vendor on survey approaches for shop in particular, so that the exchange may prioritize the best uses for the initial customer survey. Question 47. The RFP details groups, and we've got QHP enrollees, QHP subsidized, unsubsidized, goes down through a number of those, and I don't have an answer for that.
So the question talks about, is there ability to detect statistically significant differences by demographic subgroup analyses required? For example, the exchange need to view QHP enrollees subsidized by age, gender, as well as unsubsidized by age and gender and race and ethnicity. This again is
vendor question. Yeah, we'll work with the vendor. Yeah, we will work with the vendor to really find out what is very going to be interesting for us.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, question 48. The exchange would like to test for differences in experience across month and enrollment period. Is there a desirable aggregation period, or would the exchange prefer to compare each month statistically to the other months? Is the ability to detect statistically significant differences by plan type and month, aggregated by months, required? The exchange is not specifying that the results must be by month and is open to advice from the vendor on how to specify the time frame and include that advice in a discussion of priorities from the survey. We look for that in their response?
Yes, we would.
Okay. 49. The exchange describes need to explore strategic themes among small businesses using small business health options. Does the exchange view this component as a separate survey component? I won't go on through this one because this one is a repeat, and our answer is pretty much a repeat, that we're looking for advice from the vendor on our approach to that, especially relative to shop.
Mm-hmm.
50, the RFP calls for a report on technical requirements necessary to conduct the survey internally without vendor assistance. Does the exchange want technical documentation of the survey process or a portable survey instrument and platform that the exchange will run independently with minimal support from the vendor?
And I would prefer the latter one if it's possible to get.
Good suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to mention, John, that, again, we're not going to turn down nice, detailed documentation or assistance that we might receive from somebody, but first and foremost, we'll need the technical aspects to help us understand that. But it is one of the reasons that we put out the RFP was to have that assistance with the transitioning.
Okay, 51. Will the institutional review board for this survey be Washington State's institutional review board, or will the exchange allow the use of the vendor's institutional review board?
I don't have a response for that at the moment. I'd have to work with the team to see what kind of response we would get.
Okay, so we will review and get back on that question. 52, does the exchange have a standard or desired invoicing format? I think the answer to that is yes, and we can provide that and usually as part of our contract and fairly specific. 53, the exchange specifies three types of verification, state, federal criminal background checks, SAMS/EPLS check, et cetera. The question is, will the exchange require all three of these reference checks? And the answer is yes, we will require all three of them. Contract. Can you clarify what type of contract this will be, fixed price versus time and materials? It will be fixed price, $450,000. Or less if you bid less than that,
yes.
Which we encourage. Will the exchange provide the vendor with information on residents who are eligible to enroll in Washington Health Plan Finder but did not end up enrolling via the exchange, including KHP, SHOP, and Medicaid? Do you have any contact information for the non-enrollees?
Yeah.
We do.
As long as they
provided
the application.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that can be provided to the vendor. So, 56, will you provide the vendor with supplied sample population lists containing phone numbers and email addresses of people enrolled in Health Plan Finder? If so, approximately how many people or small businesses are on the list? And do you have approximate proportion of enrollees that provided cell-only versus landline telephone numbers? I don't think anyone's looked at that, have they?
So we look at that, whether it's a cell phone or it's a landline. We just say phone, email, which is your preferred way, is it address, whether you want to post.
How about the rest of the question? Some of the rest of the question, the answer is yes, is it not?
Yeah, but we don't know whether it's a cell phone or a landline, no.
I think we can assure any
a rich database.
Any applicant, we're going to have rich contact information.
But we haven't looked at the landline versus cell
phone. No.
Okay. 57, you list primary customer segments. What are the actual number of enrollees in each segment? What contact information is available? Name, address, et cetera, landline, cell phone, sort of like the same question
it
in
is.
Ways.
Yep.
So we have, again, is this the we have a rich base of information available. 58. You indicate that you wish to examine differences in consumer experiences across a six-month period. How many individuals in each segment enrolled in each month?
I don't believe we have that information at the moment. We may be able to provide you with the proxy information as our enrollment grew from January through February to March. I have to look to SEMA to see if we can get any more specific than that.
Can we provide this information in 2 days when we publish the answers, or is this going to have to be something that would come?
So what information do you have to answer?
It's just if they're curious about the time frame of enrollment over the six-month open enrollment period, and specifically how many individuals in each segment or month, in each segment enrolled in each month. I'm unsure whether we can get that information.
How many people are enrolled each month?
It says how many individuals in each segment enrolled in each month. So I think I'll just take the...
Then how many are enrolled in QHP or Medicaid or...
Let's take it like that, yes.
Yes.
Okay. We'll do our best to get that information then.
Okay,
show the enrollment.
Question 59 is somewhat similar. It says you indicate that you wish to learn from people who did not enroll during the initial enrollment period. How many people would be contained in this segment? What contact information is available for these? That's basically the same response as the previous.
Yeah, I mean, we will work with the vendor. Yeah, we don't yet.
Okay. 60, timeline. The target date for the contract is 7/22/2014, and the overview states that the exchange will survey results by 2012. There's approximate 9 or 10 week schedule from start to finish, which is aggressive. Can we provide some context as to what is driving these dates? Has the exchange conducted any research on those enrollees during the initial enrollment period, if there is flexibility in these dates? And I think you've answered that already, Michael. Basically, it's November 15th is driving us, and we work backwards from that particular date.
Yeah, and we're willing, you know, willing to, again, prioritize and right-size the initial survey survey instrument so that we can get the job done in the time that we need. I think you'll also find that we make decisions quickly here at the exchange. So we'll work with you and get it done within the time frame. I do agree it's aggressive, but I also think that it's likely doable.
Okay, number 61 asks, what do we expect for our money? The RFP states a contract value of $450,000. Does this cover data collection for the prior enrollment period, or will this contract cover data collection for the upcoming enrollment period as well?
The context of the question is a little bit challenging because let me frame it like this. We have collected enrollee data during the open enrollment period. What we do not have is a consumer survey where we would like to learn more from our consumers about how we might improve our performance. So again, the survey is meant to survey those who enrolled or did not enroll and to find out more about how we can improve our performance.
Okay, next question on the webinar. Will a copy of the vendor teleconference, vendor webinar schedule for tomorrow or for today be available after the session because they have some scheduling conflicts? I'm not too sure what we mean by schedule. We will be publishing the questions and our responses to them. And also, it is my understanding we are able to get a recording of this particular session, and that we hope to be able to also publish on the Washington's web system. 64, will the HBE be providing the contractor with a database of enrollees as a means of effectively targeting key population segments? Yes.
I think what we'll do is work with the vendor on that to make sure that we get you what you need to make sure that you can do the survey.
What language requirements for interviewing besides English and Spanish does HBE anticipate in this project?
I just refer to the previous response about needing advice.
Okay, and under what circumstances would HBE consider extending September 12th deadline for interviewing?
Yeah, John, again, we'll need to have the vendor the date that they would move it to and why they would need to and what kinds of results they could produce because of moving the due date, and then we'd take a look at that proposal. We are willing to take a look at proposals that move the due date, but we'd have to see the justification.
I think you've explained the context of all of this.
Yes.
Is driven by the November 15th date, and
we do need information for the next open enrollment. Yes.
Okay, so can you kind of roll back now? We finished with the pre-submitted questions. We'll now start looking at the questions that have been entered by chat.
We did these two, John,
Just
a bit ago, and so let's start with this one right here.
Okay, what institutional knowledge already exists at HBE without consumer enrollment experience? Case managers, call center workers, et cetera. Has that been information been systemized, and what can that play in the study development process?
Let me go ahead and just start, and I'm going to ask for some help from the panel on this. I'll just remind you that we are a developing company. We've just performed our first open enrollment. However, we do have rich expertise in call center as well as media and communications, and we are building a technical statistical group. And let me look to the others to add to that some.
So I would add that we have an internal customer support work group where kind of the cross-section of all the different folks who work with our customers share information. So that's one where, from an institutionalized perspective, we've been responding with frequently asked questions. So that's kind of a wealth of knowledge in terms of the trends that our customers have experienced and how across the different programs we've responded. In January of this year, we also conducted usability testing. So that was specifically the online customer experience. Presentations that summarize that information were socialized with several of our different committees, such as our advisory committee. So there's already publicly available information about that usability testing.
Okay. Thank you, Nellie. Isabel or Seema, anything to add?
So you better make a note on some of these so we know who to get back to when we have to actually write the answers to these. Okay, rolling up to the next question here. What is the goal of comparing enrollment experience over time? So were there changes or improvements made to the exchange other than federal government extending the deadline? What do we expect to see between late versus early enrollees? It's hard to read a rolling. Is the functioning of the state exchange expected to have improved over time, or is the as the feds have fixed some of the bugs?
Nellie, would you like?
So there were many different technical improvements made to Washington Health Plan Finder throughout the month of November, all the way through. We had releases going. You know, even last we had a release in May recently. So the release notes are posted on our corporate website. In a section called the Health Plan Finder Status Center. So a short answer is that, yes, over time we've been trying to...
We'll always get better.
...respond to what we know we can get better doing.
I would just add to that, John, that we launched in October, and while we never took our system down for extended periods of time as the federal government had to, we do believe it was a rougher experience in maybe possibly the first 5, 6, 7 weeks. And then as we the system began to stabilize and we got up and going with communicating to our consumers, it's quite possible the experience improved over time. And so that's why we're – and over such a long open enrollment period of 6 months, we are just curious if things got better.
I would add, too, from a marketing and communications perspective, there's a lot going on over that full six-month period of time. We know that deadlines were a significant driver, so always around, you know, the 23rd of the month, which is our payment deadline, we would get spikes of visits to Washington Health Plan Finder. So, you know, we would look to the vendor to kind of explore some of those areas outside of just the technical functionality, but, you know, what was driving consumers to get through and get enrolled.
Okay, next question. Hey, that was our first question. Will you consider an extension of the due date for the proposal? And unfortunately, because we're driven by the November 15th date, it is not possible to extend that. So is that all of the woes that have been put in?
I want to make a correction, but we have data on whether it's a home phone number or it's a cell phone or a work number. So we have.
Well, thank you.
So if there's anyone out there who would like to ask a question but is, for whatever reason, unable to put it in chat, we'd also accept a verbal response or a question at this point. Okay, well, we have got a fair number of people participating. I think you're all aware of the schedule for this. We are going to try to get a published set of answers out within the next several days. As I experience I've had in past responses to these, we may not at that time have answers to every question, but we will try to answer as many as possible, and we will subsequently put addenda out following once we're able to format all of the answers to all of the questions. We will get all of the questions, however, answered prior to your requirement to submit your responses. And just as a reminder, responses are due on June 27th. They have to be to us by 3 p.m. that day. And it says PST. No, that's PDT, Pacific Daylight Time. So, okay, if there are no further questions and you don't see any coming in on chat, do you, Michael?
I do not, John. Thank you.
Okay, then what we'll do is we'll thank you all for your participation. This has been very helpful to us. Hopefully it's been helpful to you also. And we'll ask you, bid you a good day. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The meeting will come to an end.